May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that we'd all agree that it's important to forgive others and to be forgiven. But we all know that in reality it can be very challenging to forgive those who have hurt us deeply. It can also be very hard to let go of our own guilt when we have hurt others and truly accept that we have been forgiven. Perhaps we can ask ourselves this morning how much our awareness of God's love and forgiveness of us affects how we relate to others. Can we look beyond our own perspective to see the bigger picture where God's grace is at work? Our readings this morning encourage and challenge us to do just that. We begin with the reading from the book of Genesis, which tells one of the concluding episodes of the story of Joseph. And some of us have been looking at the story of Joseph in our online Bible studies over the last few weeks. And a number of us met together for a fun evening to watch the musical Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which was great fun. So let's just remind ourselves of the story. Joseph is his father Jacob's favorite son, and this certainly does not endear him to his other 11 brothers. Their resentment and their anger towards him is exacerbated when he tells them his dreams, dreams which involve his father and his brothers bowing down to him. Joseph's brothers find him insufferable, and they decide to kill him. But when the opportunity arises, instead, they sell him to some traders and he's taken away in slavery to Egypt. But of course, that's not the end of Joseph, because God is with him. And Joseph's skills and capabilities are recognized first by Potiphar, and then, after various setbacks, which includes a very miserable time in prison, by Pharaoh himself. After successfully interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph is established as second in command across the whole of Egypt, in charge of overseeing the food stores of the country in a time of famine. Meanwhile, Joseph's family back in Canaan are suffering from terrible famine themselves, and hearing there's food in Egypt, they come to seek food. And when Joseph sees his brothers, of course, he instantly recognizes them. But in his guise as an Egyptian lord, they don't recognize him until he reveals who he is, and there is a very emotional reconciliation scene with much weeping and embracing. And that's the scene we heard a few weeks ago, read in church, and David reflected upon it. Now, we might think that was the end of the story. But today's reading, we have a further episode in the story of Joseph and his brothers. Jacob, their father, has now died, and Joseph's brothers begin to doubt his forgiveness of them earlier. What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong we did to him? They ask one another. They are certainly afraid. Has Joseph really forgiven them? How will he react now their father has died? Will he now demand they pay back for all they did to him? Perhaps they also feel a burden of guilt for all that they did. So they tell Joseph that their father Jacob urged him to forgive them. We don't really know whether Jacob said any such thing, or whether they're really making up this story to try and persuade Joseph to forgive them. It certainly seems the brothers are still not sure about their relationship with Joseph. They fall down before him and say, "We are here as your slaves," fulfilling, in fact, the dream that Joseph had had as a young man of his family bowing down before him. But Joseph has learnt a few things along the way through his experience of suffering and deliverance, and he is not the same man now as he was then. "Am I in the place of God?" he says. Joseph knows now that it is not all about him, that he is not the hero of his own story, Joseph has learnt, and he wants his brothers to learn, that something bigger has been at work. This is not just the story of broken relationships, sin, guilt, and forgiveness within a family. This is not just a human story of Joseph and his brothers. They have all been part of a bigger story in which God is the chief actor. God's gracious purposes have been at work through everything, and even the evil they intended has been turned to good. Joseph, sold in slavery in Egypt, has risen to in a position where he can provide food and save lives, not only in Egypt, but also for the surrounding nations, including his own family. So Joseph's brothers don't need to fear. They don't need to be bowed down by guilt or feel trapped by their own shameful past, because God's grace can transform everything for good. I think this is a very powerful message for us too. We may sometimes be burdened by the failures of our past, unable to let go of the guilt we believe and really believe that we have been forgiven. Failure, fear, and guilt can weigh us down and even sometimes paralyze us. We always need to remind ourselves of the bigger picture. God's grace can use even our failures and mistakes in his purposes. As Paul says in the book of Romans, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those he has called according to his purpose. I'm reminded of some very powerful words by Johann Tauler, who's one of the so-called Rhineland mystics of the 14th century. And he uses a very powerful image of a horse and its dung, that is manure, which makes the field fruitful. And he says that even our forgiven failures can be used in the same fruitful way through God's purposes. Listen to what he says. The horse drops dung in the stable. Although the dung is unclean and evil-smelling, the same horse laboriously pulls the same dung to the fields, where fine wheat and good sweet wine grow from it, which would never grow so well if the dung were not there. Now, your own faults, of which you cannot rid yourself or overcome, are your dung. These you should carry with much effort and labor to the field of God's will in true detachment from yourself. Scatter your dung on this noble field, and without any doubt, there shall spring up noble and delightful fruit. God's gracious purposes are at work in the story of Joseph. Can we also trust his gracious purposes at work in our own lives, even through the painful and shameful times? Even when we fail God and fail others, we can be forgiven and God can bring good out of it. Turning to our gospel reading this morning, we see another challenge to look beyond ourselves and our own perspective. But where Joseph and his brothers are encouraged to see their own guilt, failure, and forgiveness within the bigger picture of God's grace, the parable that Jesus tells shows the dreadful consequences of being unable to recognize that bigger picture. Peter asked Jesus, "How often should I forgive another?" And part of Jesus' reply is to tell a parable. Here he compares forgiveness to the cancelling of a debt. And he tells the story of a king who has several servants, and one of them he calls in to pay an enormous debt of 10,000 talents. Now, this is an unbelievable amount of money. One talent was worth more than 15 years' wages for a labourer. So this amount of money is beyond imagining, something like 1 billion francs to us. The servant pleads with the king, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you everything." Of course, he's clutching at straws, as he'd never be able to repay such a debt. But But the king does a very remarkable thing. He cancels the debt completely and lets the servant go. Well, we can imagine his huge sense of relief and joy as he skips out of the palace. But then he sees a mate of his, a fellow servant of the king, who owes him 100 denarii, equivalent to us of about 10 francs. He grabs the colleague by the scruff of the neck and demands, "Pay me back what you owe." The servant pleads with him, just as in the same way he pleaded with the king, but he has no mercy and has his fellow servant thrown into prison before he can repay the debt. Now, of course, when the king hears about it, he is extremely angry. "You wicked servant," he says, "I cancelled that debt of yours. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" And the story ends with the man being thrown into prison until he can repay the whole debt, which, of course, he never can. The problem with that servant was he hadn't really grasped the enormity of what the king had done for him in wiping out his huge debt. If he had truly understood how amazing that was, he would never have asked his fellow servant for the tiny amount that he owed him. Knowing the depth of God's forgiveness of us is the Christian motivation to forgive others. When we have realized how incredible God's forgiveness of us is, then we will have the desire and the strength to forgive others. The challenge is to look at the bigger picture, to keep in mind God's perspective and not just our own. The servant in that parable puts himself in the place of the Lord, the King, when he makes a demand of his fellow servant. He is concerned with his rights and is determined to get what he feels is owed to him. And we can easily fall into that attitude ourselves, can't we? We can begin to build up an account of what others owe us for what they have said and done. We keep a record of our grievances. Meanwhile, we think of ourselves as the innocent party, not a bad person, really. But the gospel offers us a radically different perspective. Whether we've committed any crime or not, we all as human beings are riddled with a deep and destructive self-centeredness. And we all fall short of the glory of God, as Paul puts it. So in comparison with how far we fall short of God's standards, the way others fall short of our standards is minute. In terms of the parable, even what we feel owed to us is pretty big, it's nothing in comparison to the millions that we owe to God. Ultimately, it's to God we are all accountable, as Paul says in today's reading from Romans. But the good news is that through Christ, God cancels our debt. So the important point then, and the crux of the parable, is whether we will show that same forgiveness and mercy we have received to others. As we say in one version of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, perhaps some of us may come here this morning burdened by a sense of failure or guilt over something we have done or not done which has hurt someone else. Or we may carry a grudge against someone else and feel that they owe us something because of what they have done to us. Well, we're challenged this morning to look beyond ourselves, to look beyond our failures, our wounds, our resentments, to recognize God's grace at work. The story is not all about us. We are all part of a bigger story. So let's pray that we may know God's forgiveness of us, and this will give us the grace to forgive others. And let us remember that even our mistakes and failures can be used in God's gracious purposes. Amen.